This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
This is Betting Weekly Extra Time, Europa League and Europa Conference League edition. The playoff rounds for Europe's secondary and tertiary competitions. I had to look that up early today. I'm still not completely convinced it's a word. It might have come from the Urban Dictionary, but who knows? They kick off on Thursday. 16 games for bettors to get stuck into. You're with myself, Dan Roebuck, and returning RJ, Steve Wiss and Will White. This show is in profit for the season. Not by a lot, but it's in profit, and it's the sort of numbers that the weekly European show would only die for. I can tell you that much, ladies and gentlemen. We now know, Steve, the full lineup for the Europa League. Just a quick chat on the futures first up. Liverpool plus 225. I've been championing all season. You lot have been rubbishing me all season for this, saying that they don't want to win it. Leverkusen plus 550. Will's on at plus 20-1. We're not allowing him to gloat any more about that. Milan plus 900. Brighton plus 1200. West Ham plus 1400. Steve, thoughts?
I'm just thinking about you going about primary, secondary, tertiary. And what's the one? What's the word for after tertiary? Because when I was at Football Radar, they used to, what part of my job as an analyst was to put down the positions for each player. So some players would be like secondary at left wing, even tertiary at left wing. Mm. And they brought in something daft where they were like beyond that. And I was like, well, what's the point there? I think I pretty much went out the door after
fourth
that because
choice.
I'm not going to fourth choice in a certain spot. But anyway, so I'm going way off tangent here. My thoughts. I know Nigel Seeley's massive on Liverpool now in the Europa League. He thinks that
Nigel listens to me. It's rare that Nigel listens to me, but he does occasionally. Anyway, go on.
He thinks that Jurgen Klopp wants the full set of honours before he leaves the club, which is not a bad point, I suppose. And I mean, Nigel also said to me on one of the reaction shows that they could play effectively near enough a second string and get to the semi-finals with the right sort of draw. So for the first time, I probably do have to consider Liverpool a little bit more at plus 225 for Dan. I forget. I do have an outright now for the Europa League, don't I?
Yes,
I think Lons, isn't it?
Lons, yeah, who are plus 3,000 and you basically included them at plus 4,000.
Well, value already, so... Mm. Yeah, that's all I'll say there.
Okay. When it comes to the market, Will, the top of it, only Milan and Benfica of the top eight in the betting drop down from the Champions League. Does that tell us all we need to know about the also rounds in the Champions League and the fact, and we've mentioned this on the Champions League show, that the Europa League has got two in particular stellar teams in it? Because usually we think, when I ask you guys at the start of the season, who do you fancy? It's like, stroke of the chin. Let's wait to see who drops down from the Champions League here. Well, they've not really made that much of an impact in the market, bar Milan.
Yeah, the anomaly this year is Liverpool and Bayer should be in the Champions League. They are definitely Champions League quality teams. AC Milan and Benfica, decent sides dropping down. Benfica at plus 2,000 is not the worst bet in the world, but Liverpool and Bayer are just really stand out here in this market.
There has been one or two changes in terms of personnel in charge, RJ, of one or two interesting teams. Roma are plus 1,600 here. No Jose Mourinho in charge. And you always think if he can get them through to the final, he's got a great record in it. Bar, of course, last year. And speaking of last year, Mendilibar was in charge of Sevilla, now in at Olympiacos. They're fairly sizable, but there's noise around Xabi Alonso as well. We're not quite sure how that's going to affect him over the remainder of the season. Didn't affect him at the weekend in the win over Bayern. But if they're going for the title, and they're still, they're 3 points clear, they're 2 points clear, and there's a semi-final of the Europa League coming around, does he rest players in the Europa League, whereas he might not have done if they were third, fourth, or wherever? I mean, there's just one or two interesting counterpoints here. How do you see the futures market at the moment?
Yeah, I like we talked about in the Champions League show, it's hard not to look at Leverkusen and be all over them for the reasons of they're just beating the top teams convincingly. I think from a perspective for them, they're extremely strong at home. And for all of them to be successful in this tournament, they have to take the points in the first legs. But I mean, looking from a coaching perspective, Dan, I think, yeah, if you're looking at it from, all right, they're close to the top for a league title and then also competing in the Europa League, I think you're just going to have to deal with the schedule and hopefully avoid injuries, right? That's the best bet. You gotta put your best 11 on the field at all times for both competitions. And that brings up good points, right? Health, fatigue, there'll be likely some rotation in some capacity, but it adds to the complexity towards the end of the season.
I think you're right, though. Semi-finals and finals, the coaches put the best teams out. That's just the way it goes, isn't it? We did add some players in December. Steve mentioned Lance Fineord. I think, Will, you threw those in. Will's on Leverkusen at 20-1. Anything else, Will, that you want to throw in when it comes to Europa League futures?
I quite like Atalanta, actually. I think plus 2,500 is too big. You know, it's the same price as Villarreal and Galatasaray. I think they're a far, far better team than those two sides. They're certainly rated higher according to my ratings. Yes, they are in a battle for top four in Serie A, which could become problematic when it comes to prioritization. But they certainly have the quality and form to justify being shorter. They've won 7 of 9, including wins of against Lazio and AC Milan. And according to my ratings, only Liverpool and Bayer have higher ratings. So they've also got a buy through to the next round as well, having won their group. So Atalanta are starting to appeal.
Anything from Steve and RJ that you want to throw in at this stage when it comes to outright plays?
Ooh, do you know what? Will's got me thinking about Atalanta there. That's a big price for a team that's already through to the next round. And I do believe they would get second leg advantage at home in that round because of their higher seed, I think. I'm not 100% sure about that. We can be a difference maker. No, I'm happy to be on Lons now. I think they can give me a little bit of a run for my money. And there's no really any other side. Maybe Benfica at 20-1 was someone I'd look at.
RJ?
Yeah, I actually agree with Will very much so with Atalanta. They've arguably the strongest team lately in Serie A, and their form is peaking. So at that price, it's very intriguing.
Let's have a quick check at the conference, something that we've not really focused on that much, but we've mentioned them in dispatches. When it comes to the futures market, Aston Villa plus 300, Fiorentina plus 600 here, Eintracht Frankfurt plus 900, Lille plus 1,100, Ajax 1,300, and Betis the same price. None of the top four have dropped down from the Europa League here, Will. We did talk about Villa and Fenerbahce and Union Saint-Gilloise when the draw was made. What are your thoughts when it comes to the Conference League futures?
I still think the best bets in this market is Union Saint-Gilloise plus 2,500. I don't think that reflects the quality. I know they're playing in a kind of semi-neutral ground, home legs. But Villa we talked about, and we kind of had them down as pretty strong favourites, but they have picked up some injuries recently. I know Kamara's got pretty serious. I think it might be a season ender. He might be out. They are fighting for top four, obviously, in the Premier League. So yeah, the one that stands out to me is USG.
RJ?
You know, I think if I had to add anything, it would be Fenerbahce at plus 1,400. You know, Dan, you know what they say. Fenerbahce is a tough
atmosphere. I've not got a blue. Well, I've found a blue card, and there it is.
Oh, hopefully that goes in the rubbish.
I'm ahead of the curve. It's fairly deep blue, but there you go. That's sin bin. I would say similar to 10 minutes, but you've got some tits to come.
Is that your wallet, Dan?
No, it's my Oyster pass.
Well, that's a dark blue, if anything, Dan. So we'll give it a pass. But hopefully that blue card talk, that's just a bunch of rubbish and it goes away. But yeah, Fenerbahce, 65 goals domestically. They have a slew of talent from all over Europe. At that price in this competition, you try to target those big prices, because if you're a team and player, honestly, outside of maybe some monetary perspective, do you really care about the Conference League? I think it does have some benefit for a culture, for a club, for a country. But you try to take those bigger teams here.
Steve?
Well, I think I actually added Fenerbahce as an outright pick, RJ, we're pleased to know, in the December show.
Yeah.
And probably. I mean, I actually think Villa are deserving favourites. Emery could easily take them to glory here. Lille have a little bit more of an appeal. I think they're playing a lot better than they were back in December, for example. So, I'm actually quite happy to be on Fenerbahce right now.
Seven picks to come for you from the boys when it comes to the Thursday action in the Europa League and the Conference League. We'll deal with Europa League first and foremost. Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern, Milan against Rennes. Steve, Milan are short price favourites, -165 for the first leg. Rennes are +450 here. They are the shortest price futures team, of course, Milan, when it comes to the Europa League. How are we tackling this one? What's the play?
Over 2.5 goals. A simple straight one here, Dan. I think it's -117. And Milan have become a cash cow for overs suddenly in the last sort of month or two. They did have an under at the weekend, but that was against Napoli. And I mean, Napoli are quite turgid, aren't they? I think more on them next week when we talk about them in the Champions League. But Milan have been great to watch of late. They've got great goal scoring potential, but I don't fully trust their defence. And I think it's a great matchup of styles. Rennes have been a lot better since they reappointed Julien Stéphan. They've won every single game in 2024, League and Cup combined. They're scoring goals generally for fun. They're another team, actually, they come into the match on the back of an under as well. 1-0 win against Le Havre, but there should have been more goals in that game, both ends of the field. So, in a way, I quite like it that both sides are coming into the game on the back of an under, because it means that goals probably will now flow again that didn't quite come at the weekend. And I think it's a great match to watch. I think Milan are the deserving favourites over the two legs to go through. But Rennes, they're no mugs under this current manager. They've got a lot of decent attacking potential. Martin Terrier is now back fully fit, and I think he's a real danger for them. They've got the likes of Kalim Wendo, we know what Rennes like. It's a conveyor belt of talent, and this manager he's his second stint at the club, has historically got the most out of these type of players. He's a really good people manager. He's not the type who's going to come to Italy and just play for a 0-0 draw. So I think it's going to be an open game. So the overs, straightforward over 2.5 goal line, really did stand out to me, Dan, here at it's actually -121 now.
Overs is a real theme when it comes to the Europa League and the Conference League show, ladies and gentlemen. I can tell you we went a little bit unders for the Champions League, but we're expecting goals in quite a lot of the games that we are featuring, including RJ's first pick here. This is Young Boys Sporting. Young Boys +295. Sporting going really well in Portugal, -115 the second, but they've got a game in hand at the moment. Young Boys drop down from the Champions League. RJ, talk us through this one. We're looking at overs again. What's the line? What's the play?
Yeah, Young Boys versus Sporting Lisbon over 2.75 at -109. In the Europa competition specifically, I do like targeting overs. I think there's just a better chance of it based on, you know, the team's approach. And Lisbon enter the knockout stage, as you said, finishing second in the Group D with 11 points. Yeah, 3 wins, 2 draws. They demonstrated pretty consistent offensive and defensive balance, scored 10, conceded 6. Young Boys, on the other hand, transitioned, as you said, as they finished third in the Champions League Group G, managed 1 win in 6 matches. I think Sporting Lisbon have a bit of an edge over Young Boys just due to their better form at group stages and in their respective competitions. They've only met once historically. I think it was in 2010, and it was a 1-0 victory to Sporting Lisbon. I think, you know, I never, to be honest with you, I typically don't look at formations very, very much, right? Just not something I typically consider. But I was looking through some of these matches, and I noticed that, you know, Lisbon do have like a 3-4-2-1 type formation that they roll out pretty much consistently, but specifically in the competitive competitions, in the European competitions. And then Young Boys typically run a 4-3-3, right? So they're going to have more of an aggressive approach, especially being at home. I think they're going to use that to their advantage. They're going to try to throw some different tactics. Sporting Lisbon have scored 18 goals in their last 3 matches. One of them was a cup match. They scored 8. That wasn't a cup match, actually. But they scored 16 goals in the last 3 matches. They're in red-hot form. The only injuries that I could see was Castriot Emery of Young Boys with the torn LCL and Ivan Fresneda of Sporting with a shoulder injury. He'll be out. other than that, both sides are fully healthy. And over 2.75 here at minus 109 stood out to me. I think both sides will get on the board. And I see Lisbon coming out with, say, a 2-1 type victory.
And that will do us. That's Young Boys versus Sporting. Yeah. We're like over 2.75 minus 109. That one is Thursday, 12:45. All the games are Thursday, of course, in both competitions. 12:45 Eastern is also finaled against Roma. Final order minus 104. Roma plus 295. Draw plus 245 here. This is a third meeting between the two in the last 3 years. Roma have prevailed on both occasions. Will, I don't know how much we read into that form. It is recent, but it's still a little bit odd, isn't it? Because managers, well, not for final, but Roma managers have changed. And obviously they're in different places in terms of their league position. So how are we going about this one and what do you like?
Yeah, I'm slightly frustrated. We couldn't record this show a week or so ago because final did open around about the plus 120 mark and I was desperate to get on that. They've been backed into, I think they're minus 103 now. And that's about kind of as low as I'd go, but I still think there's a bit of value in them here. I think these are two teams on very different trajectories. You've got a very young, exciting Feyenoord team where I think a lot of their core key young players are kind of starting to really blossom against a quite turgid, potentially aging Roma squad where lots of their key players are kind of reaching the upper bounds of their peak years. So I do fancy Feyenoord to get the job done in this first leg. They have met in three previous occasions. Feyenoord actually did get the better of Roma in the home leg in last year's Europa League quarter final. They ultimately went out an extra time in Rome in the second leg. And then there was a tight affair in the first ever Conference League final of the 2021-22 season. But I just think the trajectories of the two teams since those games, they're going in opposite directions. If you look at the XG supremacy progression for Feyenoord, the 2021-22 season, they out-XG'd their opponents by plus 1.15 goals per game in the Eredivisie. That increased to 1.26. XG supremacy in the 22-23 season and increased to 1.45 so far this season. So there's a clear upward trajectory in their form, one of the best kind of metrics around their form. Roma, on the other hand, are going the other way. They had a XG supremacy of plus 0.55 of a goal in Serie A in the 2021-22 season. That dipped to plus 0.23 of a goal in the 22-23 season. And this season, it's been down as low as 0.15 of a goal. So there's that. And if you try and look at an explanation as to why this hypothesis of mine is happening, you've got to look at the fact that Feyenoord, they've got extremely high player turnover. In the off-season, they often lose a lot of their best players. This off-season, they didn't really. They also brought in some great replacements, Calvin Stengs, Ayase Ojeda, Luka Ivanusic, and Rami Zarouki, which more than supplemented their losses. But it's their key players. Their key young players are maturing very quickly and becoming potential superstars. Santiago Jimenez, 19 goals and 20 Eredivisie starts. Mats Wafer, Lucharel Gertrude, Quilinci, Hartman, all Dutch national team starters at the age of 23, 24 and 22 respectively. And then you've got Quentin Timber, who's likely to make that move up from the under 21 soon. So they're the kind of the core of the Dutch national team at the moment. On the other hand, if you look at the ages of the key Roma players, you've got Dybala and Lukaku, both 30, Cristante, Paredes and Pellegrini, 28, 29 and 27 respectively, and an aging defense as well. I mean, I'm not sure it's necessarily fair to say players between the age of 27 and 30 are aging, but they just seem to have something a little bit stale about them at the moment. And I'm trying to look for some sort of justification for the regression in their XG supremacy numbers over the years. And then look at that in context of the three ties we've already talked about between these two teams. And I think the timing is right for Feyenoord to exert their dominance, especially at home. The fortress, De Kuip, where they have a fantastic record in front of a vociferous home support. So at minus 103, it's just about the right price. I'm sure, you know, Roma will come in and try and exert their experience. They certainly have the edge in that regard. But I think all of the kind of front-footed dynamism is going to come from this final team, and Roma will just be trying to keep them out.
Yeah, really good bet, I think, this one. Feyenoord just a shade shorter than even money. Going to be lively at the Kuip. Feyenoord and Roma fans.
That is a tough place to go, isn't it, the Kuip?
I mean, I've been to the Kuip. That is a very, very tough place to go. There's no red card there.
I'm just gutted that we're not going really to see Mourinho. Mourinho against Boldy.
Arne Slot. I mean, the interesting thing, I did the Roma game at the weekend. I mean, De Rossi's in charge. He won the first three, but all the three games were against, you know, teams in the bottom four in Serie A. As soon as they've come up against a better side, and I know that they went from 1-0 down to 2-1 and were beaten 4-2 in the end, but I think that they're not that good, to be honest. But we shall see. We like Feyenoord. Steve, let's get to your next player. This is Benfica Toulouse here. Toulouse are a big price. Benfica, we sort of quite like on the outrights. How are we getting with Benfica or not? What do you like in this first leg in the Portuguese capital?
I was really, really torn here, Dan. I still am. I'm even thinking about switching my pick. Really torn.
Never change your mind.
Remember that song? What was it, Natalie Imbruglia in the late 90s? That was a good one.
Is this a Natalie?
This is a Natalie. Yeah, we'll call it that. We'll call these ones sort of a Natalie bet now. I was really the bet I'm going with is over 2.75 goals at -108. But I could equally look at the Benfica handicap -1.25, Asian handicap -125, because I really do think they could put up a big number on Toulouse here. But if this ends 2-0 exactly, I'm going to go absolutely mad. I really am. But I think Benfica are well capable of covering this goal line all on their own. I think there's a huge gulf in class between the teams. I mean, Benfica are one of the top sides in Portugal. I know they didn't have a good Champions League group, but a lot of that was down just the first round where they had to freak red card and penalties against Salzburg, I think it was. In the end, they kind of regained some respect to qualify for this competition. Toulouse, I mean, I'm on them actually to go down directly in France. They could end up being relegated. I don't think they're particularly good. You know, they're struggling down there. I think they will just about survive, but they're struggling down there in the bottom reaches of the Ligue 1 table. Let's remember, they only qualify for this competition because they won the French Cup last season. And I think that this is priced up based on what the two teams' performances were in the group stages. Toulouse were surprisingly competitive in the group stage. They actually beat Liverpool. And I think the main reason for that is that they had a good go in that game. They've got in the linger up front, they do have a striker you've got to respect, and they can be dangerous on the break. That's partly why I've gone with the over here. I wouldn't be surprised if they nabbed a consolation or something on the counter attack. But I just don't think they've got anywhere near enough quality to deal with Benfica, who should really get the. I mean, Benfica are usually a side full of goals. Toulouse, I watched them in a French Cup recently. They lost against a third tier side called Rouen. And I never liked their defence at all. I think the goalkeeper's had a good season. He's actually saved their bacon quite a few times. So I've got, if I'm ever in doubt, Dan, between a handicap and the goal line, I'll always go with the goal line. And that's what I always tell myself. So I've gone with the over 2.75 at -108, which I think is a big, quite a low line, actually, when you've got a favourite close to a -1.5 Asian handicap favourite.
Yeah, Steve, if it makes you... I'm sorry, Dan. I was just going to say, Steve, if it makes you feel any better, I had a very strong lean. I almost made this an official play because this looks strong to me as well. Benfica should roll. But yeah, I like this as well.
Over 2.75 goals is the play. Lean from RJ as well. That one is 3 p.m. Eastern Thursday, 12:45 Eastern is Galatasaray Sparta Prague. And we would not have a Europa League show without a prop bet from RJ. So RJ, what's the market? What's the play here for Galatasaray Sparta Prague?
Yeah, thanks, Dan. I've become accustomed to these prop plays, specifically corners. I think they've done pretty well for us. So looking at Galatasaray Sparta Prague, over 9.5 at -106. Galatasaray entered this match after securing the third spot in the Champions League, which dropped them down. And Sparta Prague have been pretty strong overall throughout this Europa League group stage competition. Galatasaray, under the guidance of Okan Buruk, like as I stated about Fenerbahce, Galatasaray have a a very strong squad full of European stars, pedigree. Their recent performance against Başakşehir, you know, domestically, they look pretty good. I think they won 2-0 over the weekend. In fact, they've allowed no goals in quite a few home matches so far this season. They've been very consistent defensively. Sparta Prague, on the other hand, beat Karvina in the Czech domestic league, and they're sitting atop of the Czech league. So, you know, this match has some significant moment for the story of these teams. They haven't faced each other since 1997-98 in the Champions League, so it's been quite some time. Galatasaray have had a, you know, challenging journey through the Champions League, but arguably, you know, with the price there, -143, I like them. It's a tough place to visit, and I think overall, right? This I couldn't figure out a way to back from a side perspective, even over and under. It's over 2.5 for a reason. I think it will be a tightly contested battle. But the corners, this was the highest tally from a domestic perspective and factoring in tournaments. Both sides average 11.3 corners, coincidentally, which typically you don't see an exact. But 65% of the time we see over 9.5 corners for these sides in their respective home and away spots. So when you're averaging just over 11, I like the cushion here that we have. I think we could see at least 10, which would get us over the mark. And arguably the best prop play that I could find, even from a card, corner, shot on target perspective in the Europa League this week.
That's Galatasaray, Sparta Prague. We like the corners. The averages work out over 9.5. It's shade under even money, -106. Welcome along to Conference Corner. Two plays from the boys, one from Steve, one from Will, as we drop down into the third competition in Europe. We have got Ajax Berda and Servette Ludogorets to look at. Steve, you're first up with Ajax against Berda Glimt. Time on commentary duty for this one, so I apologise already to the worldwide listeners if you're tuning in. Ajax are short price favourites. Berda +415. I could probably make a case for that, but you're making a case for a different market, Steve.
Yeah, I've just got to get this cat out of the way who's in front of me.
Who's let the cat out of the bag?
This is my best bet of the week, right? Over 3.25 goals at +105. I think this is ripe for a crazy scoreline. I mean, I think the last time we did one of these shows, I actually backed Ajax and they won. It was a nervous bet, but they got the job done for me. I mentioned John Van Schip had come in and steadied their ship as such. But they're just as wild, really, aren't they, when you look at the scores that he's had since he's took over. They're a big overs team. They score goals, but they concede goals. It's, I suppose, in a way, quite typical of Ajax down the years. But what you just don't feel with Ajax, they don't have any element of control in games. So they're kind of so haphazard and wild that you're always drawn towards overs. Against the Norwegian champions, Bodø Glimt. And I suppose the big news is that Armel Pellegrino has left. He's just gone to MLS in the last week. He's moved to the San Jose Earthquakes, who actually looked at their outright price for MLS. And I'm already interested in 66-1 with Bet Rivers for
Quakes are terrible, aren't they, Will?
Well, they won't be now. Quakes are shocking. Brilliant now. They're going to be brilliant now.
Quakes have been useless for years, Will, haven't they?
Yeah, but a lot can change in MLS in the off-season. A lot can change.
I'm telling you, get on the San Jose Earthquakes in at least in some sort of capacity. But what they've done is they're replacing with two very good players, former players as well. Håkon Evjen and Jens Petter Holger, who, I mean, they're far too good really for Norwegian football. And they're going to come into the side and already make a big difference. They beat Malmo 4-0 in a friendly recently. They look quite good. There's been a big off-season move, actually, at Glimt. They brought in an assistant manager from their biggest rivals, Tromso. They've actually signed the Tromso manager as their assistant. And they've also brought in one of Tromso's best players on a free transfer. So they absolutely hate it up there now. This rivalry in the Arctic Circle, it's a bit like Liverpool bringing in Sean Dyche as an assistant for the rest of the season. Probably then due to take over in the summer. It's a crazy situation, but they're incredibly well-coached. I actually think they've got a chance over the two legs. So historically, Norwegian teams do struggle straight out of the bat from their own winter break. But they can come here and absolutely make a huge nuisance of themselves. They've got some quality players, especially midfield and attack. The only situation I don't like for Glimt is the goalkeeper position. which is great for the over bet, isn't it? So, I mean, this could be one of those matches where we do one of RJ's ladders, like over 3.5, over 4.5, even over 5.5. Like this could, I don't know, this could end something crazy, 3-all or something. But over 3.25 goals down at plus money with Bet Rivers, plus 105. This is my best bet of the whole week.
There you go, best bet before I even ask for it in the IX Birder game. I hope it is, as I say, I'm commentating on that. One could always do with plenty of goals. And Will, you've got Servette Ludogorets to look at Thursday, 3 p.m. And we played Servette quite a lot on the overs. This one is tight in terms of the money line, plus 150, plus 180, respectively. I mean, Servette are going to be one of those sides that have played in the Champions League, qualies, Europa League group stages, now in the Conference League. Is this their level? What do we like here?
I mean, this is one of my themes from a Conference League kind of analysis this week is a model plays. So I'm looking at kind of teams that statistically are being undervalued or overvalued. And actually both Norwegian teams in this competition fell into the undervalued bracket as far as my model is concerned. And I had a chat with Steve offline about this and was keen to kind of take side with both Norwegian teams, but I've settled for the next best option because of the uncertainty with the Swedish, the Norwegian teams about the winter break. I've kind of settled for the next best option in terms of model value, and that is Servette from the Swiss league. They're taking on Ludogorets, Bulgarian, perennial Europa League and Conference League, and sometimes Champions League competitors. It's really, in conclusion, it's a case of two similar level teams, one with home advantage. The main line is draw no bet, actually, here. I've decided to go for a bigger price and a bit more risk on the minus a quarter at plus 114. If you look at the form of the home form of Servette, in UCL qualies, they're actually pretty good. They drew at home to Gonk or Genk. I always get that pronunciation wrong. On the draw no bet line,
you're in good company. Come on,
yeah. I've quite a few pronunciations in that final game, but I'll try and take it easy on them in this one. And then at home to Rangers, also a 1-1 draw. They went off on the plus a quarter line on the Asian line. And for me, both of those two teams, Rangers and Genk, it's significantly better than Ludogorets. If you move on to the Europa League qualification home form in the group stage, they earned a very respectable draw at home to Roma. They created 2.42 XG at home to Sheriff Tiraspol in a 2-1 win. And they were beaten 2-0 by a very good Slavia Prague team. Of those three, I'd argue Ludogorets are probably closest to the level of Sheriff, and Servette went off minus 3/4 favourites on that day. So it's hard to really see how the main Asian line here has been set at draw no bet. On top of that, Ludogorets are traditionally very poor travellers. In the last two seasons, they've lost to the likes of Shamrock Rovers, Dinamo Zagreb, who are pretty good, Balkani from Kosovo, Olimpia Ljubljana from Slovenia, Astana from Kazakhstan, Nordsjælland, not too bad from Denmark, 7-1 that game, and Anderlecht, who are not too bad from Belgium. Over the same period, they've only had 3 away wins in total, all of which really have asterisks against them. A 2-1 group stage win in this year's Conference League to Slovak Minnows Spartak Tirana, who had nothing to play for. 1-0 Europa League qualification win away to Ajax, who were a very up and down team. Who Ajax were actually 4-1 up from the first leg in that game, so they could afford to kind of take their foot off the pedal. And we all know Ajax have had a very up and down season, and a 1-0 away win to last season's Champions League qualifiers to Montenegro Minnows, whose name I'm going to try and pronounce.
Give it a go.
No, I can't go there. I think I've had the best of the pronunciations overall on this show, so I'm going to take the win. But yeah, so I mean, they have lost their top scorer Bedia to Union Berlin over the winter transfer window, but I still think they have enough to get the win here. In conclusion, it's two similar, very equal, similar strength teams, one with home advantage, which is significant in this kind of tie. The main Asian line is drawn a bet, but I'm happy to take my chances on the minus a quarter at pretty decent plus money, plus 114.
Plus 114 the play. So that minus a quarter ball in their game against Ludogorets. Let's get some best bets before we go. We know Steve's already. RJ, what's your best play?
I'm going to go Galatasaray versus Sparta over 9.5 corners at minus 106.
corners have been good for RJ and the show over the course of this season. Will, what's your best pick?
My best pick is Savette minus a quarter plus 114.
And also conference corner for Steve. Just remind us.
It is definitely Ajax against Bodø/Glimt over 3.25 goals is the best bet. And, you know, I do like those earthquakes in MLS now.
RJ, you got a thought on the quakes? I didn't ask you before. I just know that when Almeida was in charge, they made such a big deal about him getting the job, and he was useless, and they're always bottom of the West. Don't know if they still are. I don't cover the games anymore, so my interest is gone.
Yeah, they... remind me again, what was the big signing?
Well, Armel Pellegrino has moved from Bodø/Glimt. Right, I'll tell you now, okay, only there's only one player in that league who will be technically better than him. And that is named Messi. So.
Wow. Emil Forsberg, come on.
I was going to say, who do you think? No, I think that's a massive... that's right. Sorry. You know, I track about 78 different domestic.
Yeah, I know.
Groups, so I just needed a quick.
You could tell us about that Montenegrin team. Don't worry about that. I know.
Yeah, when Balkani and Kosovo. Will got me fired up there. By the way, great job on the pronunciation, gentlemen. I mean, Will, as you've already tooted your horn, so to speak, is the top. I am not that level from pronunciation. I am learning from you guys as we go along here. So.
I don't think you excellent do learn work from us. I just think you just dismiss us and think, yeah, well, whatever. If I'm winning,
just do
I don't
it
care what they're called. You know what I mean?
The big question is, is it Gonk or Genk?
It's got to be Genk.
It's definitely Genk. Yeah, I get that one wrong.
Right. But go on, RJ.
Well, I don't know if I answered your question, but Amal Pellegrino, massive signing. The Quakes usually, you know, struggle every year. The fun part about that team is they usually concede the most goals or close to the most goals in MLS. So now that they got some attacking power, could be an interesting team to target.
It could be like the Lions, you know, like come from nowhere and suddenly get the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, look, you know, MLS is not on our radar yet. You never know. Things might change. But for this Betting Weekly Extra Time Europa League and Conference League edition, that is your lot. Many thanks to Steve, Will and RJ. Stay up to date with all of the content from the Betting Weekly team on our YouTube channel from all of us. For now, though, it is goodbye.